Blog Talk Radio.
All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory, and it's good for us to be here. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loveth. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the world, of the people, are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belongeth unto God. He is greatly exalted. So we thank God for that. That was the entire 47th Psalm. So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I'm glad to be here. Another session with Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we'd like to welcome everyone, all of our Instagram followers, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, and all of our Twitter followers. We say welcome. So it's so good to be here. And in our series, we're continuing on, of course, the ongoing theme, the Godhead, the Only Believed series, and then so part 7 of End Time Signs. And so we welcome you again to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So our call-in number, should you desire to call in, you have a question or you have a comment, you are welcome to call in. Our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 is our call-in number. Should you have a question or have a comment, you are welcome to call in. We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is taken from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 4 through 6. St. Paul's prison epistle, one of the Pauline epistles, one of the prison epistles that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, which happened to be one of the churches that he started. So we thank God. We know that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is only one God. And so many people don't know. There is no such thing as a Trinity. There's no three in one. He is the everywhere, here, now, there God. He can leave you, come to you, and ain't gone nowhere. He is every place. He declared the end from the beginning. He is the omniscient one, which means he's all-knowing. He is the omnipresent one, which means he's everywhere and every place. And he is the omnipotent one, which means he has all power. He is the eternal God. He is our refuge and strength, our present help in trouble. So we don't have to fear. He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So it's so good to be here one more time. And so, like I've made mention, should you be in the South Florida area, you can come and you're welcome to come and visit and worship with us at the assembly where I worship, which is called, the church where I worship at is called Vision Worship Center. So I actually relocated in December of 2016 from Michigan to Florida. So I'm in the South Florida area. I am north of Fort Lauderdale and Miami, and I'm in south of West Palm Beach and Boynton Beach and Delray Beach and all of those different places. And so I'm in South Florida, and I'm worshiping at Vision Worship Center, which is located at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the bishop, the founder, and the senior pastor. That is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the bishop, the founder, and senior pastor. And so we have our services at 9 a.m. on Sundays, except for the first Sunday. We have our worship service begins at 7 a.m. Every first Sunday is at 7 a.m. When all the other Sundays, our worship service convenes at 9 a.m. Then the first and third Tuesdays, we have our solution studies, our Bible class. We call them solution studies. Those begin at 7:30 p.m. And the second and fourth Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m., we have our intercessory prayer, which began at 7:30. So you are welcome, should you be in the South Florida area, to come and worship with us. We are a Pentecostal Assembly of the World Church, which is PAW Church, the headquarters of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. PAW is in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the presiding bishop of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World is Charles H. Ellis III. He is the pastor of Greater Grace Temple in Detroit, Michigan. So we're glad to be here with the apostolic message. And so everybody don't understand and the oneness of God. There is no Trinity. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. But there is only one God, and that is the commandment was given to Israel. Hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy 6 and 4, the Lord our God is one Lord. So it's good to know that, because there's only one. There is no two or three. That makes no sense. So the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So that's 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. So we're so glad to know who the Messiah is, who the Christ is, the anointed one. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. He is. We know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding. Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, God in a human body. That's why I read, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we're glad to be here, and what a day we are living in. Evil times. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. When Paul wrote to Timothy, deceiving and being deceived. And so there are so many things that are going on. That's why we want to go on a little further in this Only Believe End Time Signs series. And so he says this in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, that the last days, perilous times shall come, which is troublesome times. So we have already, we're just kind of recapping a little bit. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So he tells his son Timothy in the gospel, St. Paul, that is, the apostle to the Gentiles, for of this sort are they which creep in the houses, led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he goes on, not as James and now as Jannes and Jambres, which stood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. So you don't want to be in that kind of shape. When you're reprobate, you're wrong, and you think you're right. No one wants to be in that shape, having your conscience seared with a hot iron. Your conscience is seared with a hot iron. As we say, you're hit. There's no hope for you if your conscience is seared with a hot iron, and no one in their right mind wants to be in that kind of shape. So we have been talking about the end times on these. This is the seventh week that we have been talking about this, and we made mention about the end time signs out of the 24th chapter of Matthew, out of the 13th chapter of Mark, out of the 17th chapter of Luke, out of the 21st chapter of Luke, and also out of Apostle John's letters he wrote, St. John. So there's no mention of the end time signs in St. John, but in his letters he does talk about Antichrist shall come. And, you know, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So that's, listen to the sound of that. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And so Jesus is eternal. A lot of people, it takes the Holy Ghost to reveal that to you. Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. The sonship is an office. And so that office is going to be done away with. Going to put down all rule and authority. And he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. In the 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, St. Paul goes on to say, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He's talking about the Son being subject to the Father, that God may be all in all. So he took on a human body for us. As much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. Hebrews 2 and 14, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And then he goes on to say, He didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham, which means he took on a human body. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, talking about the human family, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. And so in Galatians 4 and 4, in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So the Son of God came from the woman. No, the Spirit came from heaven, but the Son of God, the flesh, came from the woman. So it's good to know that. And so the Son is the office of sonship is not going to be always. And even during the time when Israel shall see him, they're going to ask him, when did you get those wounds? And he's going to let them know, I was wounded in the house of my friends. So they're going to look up Zechariah 12 and 10, the latter clause. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And so we know that's talking about God, the burden of the word of the Lord in Zechariah, the 12th chapter and the first verse. So the 10th verse, that latter clause, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So they, St. Paul said, have they, you know, talking about knowledge, talking about wisdom, and he was talking about which none of the princes of this world knew. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So 1 John 3 and 16, John writes, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Not St. John, but 1 John 3 and 16. And he goes on to say, we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we talked about all these end time signs, peace treaties, and things of that nature going on, people being traitors. So just because a peace treaty, there's not going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. So I know a child is born in Isaiah 7 and 14, 9 and 6 rather. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So there's not going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. So he goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace shall, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So that time has not come. There's not going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Devil's going to be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years after he comes back and fight the battle of Armageddon and set up the kingdom. And he's going to reign 1,000 years before the devil be loosed out of his pit, his prison, to go and deceive the nations one more time. Fire from God is going to come down out of heaven and devour him and the devil that deceived them. In the meantime, before he gets there, the beast and the false prophet in the book of the Revelation is going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. So the devil is going to be cast into the lake where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that time is going to come. So like we were talking about before, about the time that we're living in the last days, and what St. Peter was saying when he was telling us what kind Lord has showed him, what death that he should die, and he was telling us what we should be doing in these times, because the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So this is Peter. Use hospitality one to another without grudges. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And so we also, we were talking about the mystery of iniquity. Doth already work even even now, who, you know, it's working in 1 Thessalonians, after he talked about the catching away of the church in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So he goes on here, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So a lot of peace treaties, a lot of so-called peace talk. A lot of people are puffed up with pride and arrogant, thinking, and those peace treaties and peace deals, agreements, are not worth the paper that they're written on, because God's word is going to be fulfilled. Because there's wars and rumors of wars. These are end time signs. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes and pestilence, you know, earthquakes in diverse places, which means many places. And so fearful sights and things, people are very fearful of what is those eruptions, volcanic eruptions in Hawaii, and then they say that place is really big, so some people is not affecting. Some people have to run for their life in Hawaii. So there's fearful sights and things that are going on, so much violence in the land, just like it was in the days of Noah. That is one of the signs of the coming of the Lord. And then the spirit of suicide is running rampant. And it's not just started. That's been going on. It's just it's brought to the forefront and brought to our attention when famous people, you know, people of notoriety, Kate, can't think of her name. I saw that store today when I was out walking. But anyway, when you have big name people of notoriety seemingly had it all, they were not in the poorhouse, as we would say, and they, you know, that's the devil. When he gets your mind, he will possess you. You'll do what he says. So the spirit of suicide is running rampant. The spirit of murder is running rampant. These things have been going on for a long time. So that is another sign of the coming of the Lord. And it's like I've said, I made mention, I believe it was in 2016 when the Supreme Court made the ruling, a 5-4 ruling, 5-4. For the same-sex marriage, and I think 4 were against it because it's an uneven number, 5-4. And so it's ridiculous. And so as far as God is concerned, you cannot marry the same gender. You cannot marry the same sex. So as far as God is concerned, they are not married. They're fornicators. So it doesn't matter. What God says, the law of the land is what he says, not some stuff that goes contrary to what his word said. He made woman for man. And all these other people that are committing adultery, you know, if somebody's married and somebody's not married, then the person that's having sex with them is a fornicator. But the person who is married is committing adultery against their spouse. So then two people are not married, they are fornicators. If they are not married neither one of them are married to each other, they're fornicators. So, and you cannot marry the same sex. And so God doesn't pardon that. You know, that's a bad situation to be in, to be a fornicator, especially just disregarding what God says. You know, the world, sinners sin. So I'm talking about people, so-called people, that claim they are a child of God. That is a bad place to be in, because God doesn't, that's a horrible thing that he doesn't like for people to be in sin. So people are saying all kinds of things, but he said, lest there be any fornicators, you know, or it's in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. So God doesn't look smile on no fornicator. That's or a profane person like Esau. He puts them in the same category. So he's talking about follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And he goes on to say, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So you got to watch your heart. That's why the writer says, Proverbs 4 and 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we have to watch our heart, watch ourselves, watch our heart. So he goes on here in Hebrews 12 and 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So God doesn't look favorably on a fornicator. So he put the fornicator in the same class as Esau. So these sexual sins, they call them soul ties, because they're, people's emotions are all tied up, and you know, a lot of times they say, you know, women, don't let, you know, this happen to you. Then men are seduced also. So everybody have to watch themselves. So you can't, you got to have your mind made up that you are not going to be a victim of sexual sins. So then, so it doesn't matter, because a temptation of itself is not sin. That's why the Bible says, when let no man say when he is tempted, he is tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted. It's in the book of James. Neither tempted he any man. And he goes on to say, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust has finished, it bring forth. Lust has conceived, it bring forth sin. When sin is finished, it bring forth death. James goes on to say, do not err, my beloved brethren. So that's why, if you've been listening, following me, you've heard me say, no conceptions, no babies. And so that's why he says, when lust has conceived, it bring forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, it bring forth death. So every good and perfect gift come from above, who is the Father of life, of whom is no variableness. So that's why, you know, we got to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. That is what James, the brother of our Lord, says in his epistle. So today we're continuing on. And so that's why you have to assemble yourselves in the house of God. And so that's why the Bible said, Psalm 68 and verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So remember, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, when he gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven to Peter in Matthew 16 and 18. Told him, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. And so that means exactly what it says. And so the church is the local assembly of believers. So Ephesians 2 and 20, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so this book of Hebrews is written And the key word in this book of Hebrews is talking about better. And so many things are said in this book of Hebrews, but if you miss everything, I've been through this whole book before on a number of series on this platform, Truth on Blog Talk Radio. But the subject of the book of Hebrews is the first word, and there's a comma in that first word. So the subject is, if you miss everything that you hear and read in the book of Hebrews, the subject is God. That's who the subject is. So it's a better way upon better promises. So today we are talking about what we should do because we are in the last days. And that's why I just mentioned about what Peter said that we should do in the last days, about ministering one to another. So then we go on here in the book of Hebrews as on today, what we need to do to be strengthened, to be helped. And so you won't be discouraged as a child of God when you around other believers. You can be get prayer and you can get help. And that's why the Hebrew writer says, seeing then that we have a great high priest is passing to the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And he was saying that we don't have a high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What he's saying is the one we have, he can be touched. But was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. So that's why he tells us we don't have to worry about judgment. You're a child of God, but he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So this is a very important book, this book of Hebrews. And so here he's letting us know everything is better here in the book of Hebrews, in these last times, what we need. The law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there unto perfect. Then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. So he's talking about the law. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. So that's that body that I was talking about, the Son of God. Mary was saying, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, she was saying, how shall these things be? In Luke's gospel, said, the power of the high is going to come upon thee and overshadow thee, therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke 1:35. So that's why he was saying, he come in the volume of the book, thou prepares a body for me. So in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. When he says sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So he goes on here, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Because remember, we were saying that he was, once in the end of the world, he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He offered himself as the Son of God. As God, he received the offering because he is the God. And so then said I, he took away the first that he may establish the second by the will. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. So he's talking about the law. Now, remember, that was what we were started off reading in this 10th chapter of Hebrews. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. That's power of authority, the right hand. From henceforth, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. In other words, his enemy is going to be put under his feet. And if you remember earlier, I've said it, and I say it again, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's why St. Paul said, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" He said, "To say it, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, O death." I got a question for you. Where is thy sting, O grave? I got a question for you. Where is thy victory? Then he goes on to say, "The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's why he goes on to say, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So those are the last verses, two or three verses in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, when he's talking about the resurrection. You know, sown in weakness is raised in power. Sown in corruptible is raised sown in corruption is raised incorruptible. That's why he was saying this: when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then it's going to shall be come to pass the saying that death is swallowed up in victory. So those quotes that I just made: "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, and strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory." That ETH, he keeps on giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, he's saying here, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after he hath said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I'll write them. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.'" So this is literally going to happen to Israel too. This is a quote out of the book of Jeremiah, I believe. "Now where remission is of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." So we're getting into the lesson, what we're talking about today. "Let us hold fast the profession of faith, our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promise." So he goes on here, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." So he goes on here, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Which simply means Christ is not going back to Calvary no more. He already done it. Once at the end of the world, he hath appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So what it behooves us to do, and we are admonished to encourage one another, because time is short, like St. Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthian church. Time is short. Time was short then. It's really short now. So we see these things coming to pass. So evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I would have never thought that I would see the day when you could marry another man, a man can marry another man, a woman can marry another woman. We are living in troublesome times, perilous times, dangerous times, evil times. All of this foolishness, our children and grandchildren are looking at this garbage, and great-grandchildren. This foolishness is out of the pit of hell. God is not playing. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And like he said, in the book of Luke, remember Lot's wife. Why could not the children of Israel enter into the promised land? The Hebrew writer says, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So that's the worst sin in the whole world, unbelief. And so it gives you the whole picture of it. Wherefore, today, this is in the 95th Psalm, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So he don't want us to do what they did in the wilderness. You know, they were hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. And unbelief is the worst sin in the whole world. And so not only that, the worst sin is not getting baptized in the name of Jesus, not receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, which is the salvation of God, which is the message that Peter preached. And so we know that Constantine in 323 AD, somewhere in there, when he so-called had that devilation, when they changed the they went to this Catholicism, as we call it, the doctrine of the Trinity, and it wasn't no revelation, it was a devilation, because there's only been one God, and Judaism was done away with. You didn't have to keep the law, but Christ is the end of the law for everyone that believeth. And so that's why that quote was made out of Deuteronomy. Don't say in your heart, who's going to go up to heaven to bring Christ down? Who's going to descend into the deep to bring Christ up again? He said, but what saith it? The word of faith which we preach, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the heart, mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he went on to say, there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. Same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this is in the 10th chapter of Romans. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they preach except, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So that's why he said, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So that's Isaiah. So we know that's in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. So he goes on here, St. Paul writing to the church at Rome. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's why we got to go to the house of the Lord, assemble ourselves together. We encourage one another because time is short. There's many distractions. There's many adversaries. There are many enemies of God to take you off focus, to take us off track. So if we're doing, and then see, that's why people, you have to realize sometimes, because we're constantly meeting people. So I just went to our state of Florida, our council of churches in the state of Florida, which all the states and then international, other countries and all, because it's the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World is our parent body. So our general convention or international convention will be in Atlanta, Georgia on this year. But the Council of Churches, you're meeting people. So the Council of Churches, the state of Florida is the entire state of Florida. So we go to Central Florida to meet, but at this particular time. But churches from Fort Myers, from Sarasota, from Daytona Beach, from far away is Jacksonville, and from far south is Miami, and on down, we come together as the body of apostolic body of believers. And so we encourage one another, and you connect with people. Because you're going to, God wants, the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 16, that a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. So, no, the Bible is written in the masculine gender. And so you talk about wisdom, you talk about understanding, that's written in the feminine gender. Take hold of her and hold on to her. She is thy life. She's going to save thee. You know, so that's the biblical terminology. The Bible is written to the human family. But I'm saying people are connecting with people that they meet, with people. I actually met one of our evangelists. I'd never met her. I actually heard her preach at the convention a few years ago when the convention was in Detroit, Michigan for 2 years. And then so this particular evangelist is my Facebook friend. So she preached in Miami on last year. So I was able to meet her. We are ordained with the same organization, the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. So she was preaching at one of our churches in Miami, Florida, and I met her in person. So we have to realize, that's why I said that on last time, we have to realize a godly connection. Because people are just so turned off by certain things that they're apprehensive, they're leery, especially if it's a male and a female, people are leery. But we just got to be like that woman at the well. She wasn't scared. Because a godly person, they're gonna have the fruits of godliness. So you don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be afraid. And I'm not afraid to meet people because you know where people are. And especially now, you can hear people see people do video. You can hear and see, or people doing audio. You can hear, and so you can discern. Because we're real human beings, we're not robots. So God is bringing people together. And like I mentioned on last time, how they communicated, it took a while for them to get letters. But nowadays, we have instant messaging. We have email. We have various platforms where you can message people. We have live stream. You could actually call somebody and look at them and talk to them. I mean, knowledge shall be increased in the book of Daniel. We're living in that day. We are most definitely in the last days. So that's what we want to do, is consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So be encouraged. So whatever your gift is, just like I've said, and then there the gifts in the New Testament church, no one should be afraid to deal with spiritual gifts, because God put the gifts in the body for the edifying of the body. So that's why we read the scripture. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, Ephesians 4 and 11, starting for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He goes on to say, that we be no more children, tossed food to and fro by every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him. That word, grow up, maturity, who is the head of all things, even Christ. So to be perfected, to be perfect, is to mature. So we don't want to just be spiritually retarded or spiritual babes, you know. Just we should have, you got to graduate. You got to grow up where you need meat instead of just milk of the word. That's for babes. But strong meat belongeth to him that are exercised, their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So we're fighting a real devil. So we got to grow up and shouldn't be in the church and be in the same place year after year, but we have to mature. And so Enoch was a type of the church. He was translated that he should not see death. So this, we know, it's just hard for people to believe, because I mean, you wait once a year, most churches, yeah, celebrating the resurrection. You don't have to wait till no so-called Easter, and in itself is a pagan holiday. But the resurrection, that's why a lot of people start using the term Resurrection Sunday. But you don't have to wait. We don't even know what first day of the week that he rose. But if you're born again, you better know that he did. He rose from the dead, and he rose up in me, and he rose up in you. And so you can celebrate the resurrection every single day. You don't have to wait for no one day of the year. And most of us, virtually all of us, our birthday is on the same day every year. Now, the only people's birthday is different is people who was born, I think, February 29th, because February has 28 days, and every 4 years it has 29 days. So those people, their birthday would be on February the 29th and then March the 1st. So, but other than that, I mean, so that's only off a day, but that's because we're set up. We have leap year. We leaping to catch back up with God, somebody said. But you shouldn't, Easter is ridiculous. I mean, Resurrection Sunday, as they call it, is in March sometimes, is in April sometimes. That is stupid is what that is, because your birthday should be the same date every year, an event. I mean, the holidays that they made up, the 4th of July ain't on the 3rd. Memorial Day used to be on Memorial Day when I was little, and I'm a baby boomer, because they used to say, what you doing on the 30th? It was the 30th of May. Then I don't know how many years ago they changed it. They made it the last Monday of May, which is okay, because that means that some people will have a three-day weekend. So that's okay, but they still – they're commemorating Memorial Day. And then Labor Day is the first Monday of September, I believe. So that's pretty – but those two times are always the same. But the resurrection should be the same time. But according to our calendar, it's not. So we thank God. We know we are in the last days, and it's – The day of redemption is near. Like the song says, men's hearts are failing for fear. And so people are panicking. And I remember some years ago they were talking about suicide, I believe, on the Phil Donahue show. Phil Donahue used to have a show before Oprah. He actually used to involve the audience. He was one of the first ones to do that because he got tired of trying to realized he had to do all the talking, and he started asking the audience questions. So he was one of the first ones to do that. But anyway, this was back, I believe, in the 80s or early 90s when on Oprah's show they were talking about, I mean, not Oprah's show, but I'm talking about Donahue. He's actually started Oprah kind of went with the platform that he had because he involved the audience. Anyway, there was a young lady was saying she made a profound statement that she is only on her way up because being suicidal is your lowest state that you could be in, the lowest state of mind that you could be in. And so everything else after that, she got past that, she on her way up. So I thought that was profound. That does make sense. So, you know, sometimes people don't, in life, as humans, sometimes you're going through things, you don't want to see another person. That is human nature. You pity yourself, even, and sometimes after great victory, even the prophet Elijah said he wanted the Lord to take his life away because he was the only one left. God let him know, I got 7,000 having bowed unto the knee, the image of Baal, bowed the knee to the image of Baal, nor kissed his image. And so as humans, you need to talk to somebody because somebody has been through. So that's why James said that Elias was a man of like passions. So he's talking about the patience of Job. So everybody, that's the Job asked the question, all the days my appointed time, will I wait till my change come? So people don't want to go through pain. People don't want to suffer. Nobody does. So, and then that's why the Hebrew writer says, let us consider him, talking about Jesus, who endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself. So everybody's not getting tortured and beat. Old church was during the, and before that dark age, before the latter rain God was pouring out in the early 1900s. He's been pouring it out and pouring it out. The devil thought he was going to shut it down, but you can't stop God. You got it, you're out of your mind if you think that you can stop God. And so that's why the Hebrew writer says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So I ran a marathon in 1986. This is a marathon. You got to set your pace. This ain't no sprint. You got to set your pace, and you got to eat spiritual food along your way. During the marathon, you're already in a literal marathon. You've already given your body things that you need, but you have to drink water to keep yourself hydrated. It's the same scenario in the spiritual. You got to eat spiritual food. You got to take care of that inner man so you won't faint in your mind. So that's what he's going on here to say. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember I said that's a place of power. Then he goes on here, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. So you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, like they did back then. You have forgotten the exhortation, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He goes on to hear, if you endure chastisement, God dealeth with you as with son. What son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He goes on to say, for no chastening is for the present seem to be joyous, but afterward, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So whatever we're going through, that's why Peter said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but as rejoice, as much as we are partakers of Christ's suffering, when his glory may be revealed, we may be glad with exceeding joy. And he's saying, you know, we're evil spoken of on people's part, but on God wants to get the glory out of our lives. So that's why we have to consider one another under love and provoke one another, because time is short. And then somebody's already been through, you will encourage one another. So we thank God for realizing that we're in the end times, and the Lord is soon to come. Like he said, surely I come quickly. We're definitely in the last time. So thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And as I always ask, because I care, I'm concerned. This is what this message is, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? God bless you. We'll talk to you on next time.